You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Hello, this week to the element that tops Group 1 and gives us lighter aircraft and armour plating. It also keeps grease runny at Arctic temperatures, powers pacemakers, and lies at the heart of the hydrogen bomb. Matt Wilkinson.
Lithium is rare in the universe, although it was one of the three elements, along with hydrogen and helium, to be created in the Big Bang. The element was discovered on Earth in 1817 by Johann August Alfredsson in Stockholm. He was investigating petalite, one of the first lithium minerals to be discovered. Because petalite gives an intense crimson flame when sprinkled onto a fire, he deduced that petalite contains an unknown element. The element he called lithium, from the Greek word for a stone, lithos, although he never actually managed to produce any. He reasoned that it was a new alkali metal and lighter than sodium. However, unlike sodium, which Humphrey Davy had isolated in 1807 by the electrolysis of sodium hydroxide, Alfredsson was unable to produce lithium by the same method. A sample of lithium metal was finally extracted in 1855 by the electrolysis of molten lithium chloride. Once lithium's discovery had been announced, others soon found it to be present in all kinds of things, such as grapes, seaweed, tobacco, vegetables, milk and blood. Another lithium ore is spodumene, which, like petalite, is lithium aluminium silicate. And there is a large deposit of this ore in South Dakota. World production of lithium compounds is around 40,000 tonnes a year, and reserves are estimated to be around 7 million tonnes. Industrial production of the metal itself is reported to be about 7,500 tonnes a year, and this is produced by the electrolysis of molten lithium chloride and potassium chloride in steel cells at temperatures of 450 degrees C. Lithium itself is moderately toxic, as discovered in the 1940s, when patients were given lithium chloride as a salt substitute. However, in small doses, it is prescribed as a treatment for manic depression, now called bipolar disorder. Its calming effect on the brain was first noted in 1949 by an Australian doctor, John Cade, of the Victoria Department of Mental Hygiene. He had injected guinea pigs with a 0.5% solution of lithium carbonate, and to his surprise, these normally highly strung animals became docile. In fact, they became so calm that they would sit in the same position for several hours without moving. Cade then gave his most mentally disturbed patient an injection of the same solution. The man responded so well that within days he was transferred to a normal hospital ward and was soon back at work. Other patients responded similarly well, and lithium therapy is now used all around the world to treat this mental condition. How it works is still not known for certain, but it appears to prevent overproduction of a chemical messenger in the brain. Lithium is used commercially in various ways. Lithium oxide goes into glass and glass ceramics. Lithium metal goes into alloys with magnesium and aluminium, and it improves their strength while making them lighter. Magnesium-lithium alloy is used in protective armour plating, and aluminium-lithium reduces the weight of aircraft, saving fuel. Lithium stearate, made by reacting stearic acid with lithium hydroxide, is an all-purpose high-temperature grease, and most greases contain it. It will even work well at temperatures as low as minus 60 degrees C and has been used for vehicles in the Antarctic. Lithium batteries, which operate at 3 volts or more, are used in devices where compactness and lightness are all important. They are implanted to supply electrical energy for heart pacemakers. They function with lithium as the anode, iodine as the solid electrolyte, and manganese oxide as the cathode, and they have a lifespan of around 10 years. This longevity has been extended to lithium batteries of the more common 1.5 volts variety, in which the cathode is iron disulfide. And these are used in everyday gadgets such as clocks, and lithium is now beginning to be used for rechargeable batteries. Lithium is a soft, silvery white metal that heads Group 1, the alkali metals group of the periodic table of the elements. It reacts vigorously with water, so storing it can be a problem. It cannot be kept under oil as sodium can because it is less dense and floats. So it has to be stored by being coated with petroleum jelly. Somewhat surprisingly, it does not react with oxygen unless heated to 100 degrees C, but it will react with nitrogen from the atmosphere to form a red-brown compound, lithium nitride. Hydrogen bombs actually contain the compound lithium hydride, in which the lithium is the lithium 6 isotope and the hydrogen is the hydrogen 2 isotope, deuterium. This compound is capable of releasing massive amounts of energy from the neutrons released by the atomic bomb at its core. These are absorbed by the nuclei of lithium-6, which immediately disintegrates to form helium and hydrogen-3. These then go on to form other elements, and as they do, the bomb explodes with the force of millions of tons of TNT.
Matt Wilkinson on the extraordinary virtues of element number 3, lithium. Next time, to one of the universe's rarer chemicals, and horribly toxic though it is, without it, we'd be the proverbial particle short of a nucleus.
James Chadwick in 1932 discovered the neutron by bombarding a beryllium sample with the alpha rays emanating from radium. He observed that the beryllium emitted a new kind of subatomic particle which had mass, but no charge, the neutron. And the combination of radium and beryllium is still used to make neutrons for research purposes, although a million alpha particles only managed to produce 30 neutrons.
So that goes to show that sometimes a lot can only go a little way. Richard Van Norden will be here with the story of beryllium on next week's Chemistry in Its Element. I hope you can join us. I'm Chris Smith, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.